we're in a series called Falling in Love with the Holy Spirit. And today, the message is simply titled, Have You Heard? Because a lot of people haven't heard of the Holy Spirit. And this fall, we're going to be doing a lot of messages concerning the end times and many of the things that are happening in the country. Well, everybody's watching the border issues and people coming from the south. Very few people are watching the northern issue that a 10-lane highway is going to be built from Canada all the way through the heartland of America down to Texas to the border of Mexico. And there'll be train track going each way and highways just for trucks and then highways for people to go back and forth. As you know, we know the plans. They've been there for years. It's not some top secret deal. But America is blending into a part of a new world order, and it's going to be Mexico, United States, North America will be its own entity. You will be losing a lot of the sovereignties and things you have now to make this happen. And the border issue is very obvious. In one sense, we've lost over 40 million Americans through abortion. We've replaced them with 20 million, quote-unquote, people they say are illegal. They will catch up as a few more get in. We'll pick up that tax base of what we lost. But at the same time, they're working for one currency that Canada, the United States, and Mexico will all have the same currency. So it is happening faster than us building two radio stations a day. And I'm going to spend most of the summer just getting ready for the fall messages because it's coming very, very quickly, the changes. And sometimes change has to be fomented with disruption, and things are not going to be what they appear to be. So if ever there was a time in your life, if you want to know God, this is the time to know God. This is probably one of the most exciting times in mankind's history to be alive. It's probably much like the time at the Tower of Babel when everybody on planet Earth spoke one language. But God came down and he said, this isn't looking good. Everything they think of is wicked and evil, and we need to change their thinking. And he gave all the languages in one day. And that slowed down the spreading of sin and anti-God sentiment. This has to be as exciting as the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came and worked through people. And unfortunately, there are many people that call Christianity a religion, and it's not a religion. It's a relationship between you and Jesus Christ. And so the devil's no stupid guy. He's no dummy. In many ways, he might have slipped a little bit, but he knows that if he can get people confused and get them religious, he's won the battle. If he can get you from reading your Bible, he's won the battle big time. Because you see, in 1 John it says, you have no need that any man teach you, but the Spirit that abides in you shall teach you all things. So if things came to a place like they were in the first century that we're going to read about, when the Christian community was turned on by the Roman government and the Christians went underground, you would know that it wasn't about buildings and it wasn't about organizations and it wasn't about the latest style of believing in your faith or anything. You would just know it's about you and Jesus Christ and the people that love him. It's a spiritual situation, ladies and gentlemen. It's not physical. And the demons are being very, very bold and very arrogant right now, and they're out in the open, which means they think that they're going to win. So I'd like to point out to you a part of the Holy Spirit today. Have you heard? Do you even know there is a Holy Spirit? I can absolutely tell you 100%, 1,000% that he's here right now in this room. He's working somehow. How he does it, I don't know, through the television cameras to the worldwide net. We know that there are people in Afghanistan and Iraq watching. We know there are people in about 30 different nations watching. We know that 40-some states have people watching right now. The Holy Spirit speaking to them, too. I get emails every week after Sunday from people all over the world say, you know, your point about da-da-da-da-da, it amazes me. That wasn't even my point. But to them, it was the point that God needed. And I want to encourage you. He's able to talk to the radio people that are listening in their cars and downloads and past tense. He wants to speak to you. And what he's trying to do is to get you ready for big changes coming in your life. And it's not that there's one government better than another or there's some weird conspiracy going on. If it's all out in the open, you can see it. But many times we forget what's right in front of us. So the message this morning tells us that the Holy Spirit is right in front of these people and they couldn't see it. Now this Spirit is interpreted by people and theologians, and it's not something that can be interpreted by theologians or non-believers or a believer even. How do you interpret God. It's just another part of him. There is God a Father, God a Son, who was a sacrifice, and God a Spirit, who we just spent several weeks, verse by verse in John, preparing you for this person of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, I have to go. It's expedient that I leave so that the Comforter can come. And now he's come. And many people that call themselves Christians still work in the energies of their own flesh, still commit the same sins, still go to church and maybe carry on in adulterous affairs or get high or drunk or steal. So they're just the same as anybody else. What is the difference here? Well, Paul challenges them. And it's that challenge that I can guarantee you there is no way your life can change unless you let the Holy Spirit do. I've been speaking with a younger man in his 20s. He's been a homosexual for several years. And he gave his heart to Jesus Christ a few weeks back. He's reading his Bible every day. He's asked the Holy Spirit to fill him. He told me this morning that he 100 times a day asks these thoughts to go away. And people have told him, you know, you're going to live with this the rest of your life. I'd like to tell you something. You don't live with this the rest of your life. It's gone. It went on the cross. So people tell me, oh, I'm an alcoholic. I know I'll always be an alcoholic. I'm a recovering alcoholic. Well, in a sense, okay. I'd want to belittle any thoughts that you may carry on. I have found myself, and I've been to the pit of hell and graciously brought out of it by God. He died once and for all for me and freed me. I'm not anything. I'm not what I used to be. That old guy's dead, and even the memory of him should be gone, let alone. So I don't carry from my old nature into my new nature. Yes, I am a Christian, but no, I'm free. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I'm not free, but I have a bad past. I'm totally free. So these people are very encouraged by God, and the Holy Spirit opens up on them. And they're only one group that the Holy Spirit has opened up on and blessed. Today, there are many people that believe, and you may be one of those people. You grew up, I believe, I'm a good girl, I'm a good boy, but you're lacking the power that is rightfully yours. It's as if you had a rich uncle that died and he left you $50 million. And all you needed was somebody to tell you that he left you $50 million. Fortunately, they didn't. You would have spent it all by now before I could get to you. But you'd spend the $50 million. You'd use the $50 million. You'd invest the $50 million. It's yours to use as you want. So Paul comes along and says, you know, you're missing something that's rightfully yours. This is yours. And they weren't even aware of it. It's a unique power. I have found this power ministering at the side of deathbeds. I've seen it working tenderly and gently with little children. I've seen it with ferocious people. In the 70s and 80s, I went many, many times to Singapore. We held festivals in Singapore. My favorite place to go is Changi Prison. King Rat was a very famous book and motion picture that came out. It was about this British guy that was put in Changi. If it was built to hold 300, there's 500 in there. During the Second World War, the Japanese took the British soldiers and were horrible to them in this filthy condition. Whenever I'm in Singapore, it's my greatest honor to go to that prison and to see these hardened criminals. And you know, I've seen the Holy Spirit work with some of the most ruthless people and have not an ounce of fear, just knowing that he's there with us, working on them and ministering to them. One Christmas, Chad Butler, whose father is Chuck Butler, Chad's from Switchfoot, he's their drummer. His father and I and Phil Wickham's mom and dad were in the prison. We went into a locked-down cell that was inside the inside of the inside of the inside. Nobody got here. About 100 men, death row guys, 80 men, 90, all came in. There were two that were so ruthless and bad that they were inside the inside of the inside in this cell with all the bars, with guards lined up the hallway and outside the cell, but we had to give them permission to lock us in this room at our own whatever, you know. And the bad, bad dudes, there's three of them, were up above in the roof with a very secure place that could never be broken into. And it had cell bars instead of going up and down like this. They were going sideways. And I never forgotten in 20 years or more these dark brown hands hanging on to the bars, meaning there was somebody up there listening to what was going on. And then to see the hands come through the bars, surrendering, and then at the end of it all, hands folded. That God went in to a place so deep and so secure that no man on the earth could get to these people to spring them. And that he got to the worst guy that nobody could go talk to, and they wouldn't trust him being with another human being. That's the Holy Spirit. So you may be like this right now. The Holy Spirit is like this. And he's so full of God's love and God's truth. All he wants to do is come in, clean you out, free you up, let you go on your way, but give you hope for tomorrow. But the power to live that hope that you have. He's very powerful, but I've seen him so tender, so gentle in so many ways. I guarantee you, if you'll just let him work, he'll work. You will find out after a period of time, not everybody around you hears him when you hear him. And they don't see what you see or understand what you're understanding. So you become more patient and you slow down a bit. And then you realize maybe God is only showing you what you're seeing. You see, every one of you are special people. You don't believe that. You don't live it. But you are. The fact that you have this fantastic body and are living inside of it, and you have this computer called a mind, you have a body and a soul, but he's given you the opportunity for a third dimension, means you're special. And that third dimension is the spiritual dimension. And you can try all the isms of the world, but you'll never find one of those religions or isms that has the person of the Holy Spirit that can give you the power of God and to change you. And change is what we all need. So may you be encouraged. This power of the Holy Spirit endorses your faith if you're a believer. Endorses what the scriptures tell you. And will give you the power to do what happens in these scenes. Maybe you identify with the people in the book of Acts. You see, I'm a believer, but I don't really have a power to keep me going. Or I don't have like the enthusiasm of a minister or desire. You just don't know about the power. And once it's unlocked, heaven's going to be wide open for you, and you're going to just enjoy what's happening. Here's some stats for you that I pulled off the internet, the Harris Poll. I like the Harris Poll because it's not a religious poll. There's 50 to 100 polls on the internet you can get that are done by religious people, and then they only talk to religious people. These are man-in-the-street interviews, if you can put that on the screen. In America today, as of 2005, so it's fairly fresh, with a broad spectrum of people, not just church people, 82% of Americans say they believe in God. 8% say they're atheists, and 10% aren't really sure. 73% believe in miracles. 70% of Americans believe in the survival of the soul after death. 18% aren't sure. 12% of our country, absolutely nothing's going on. Heaven is believed on by 70%. Jesus is the Son of God, or the Son of, is God, or a Son of God. 70% believe that. 15% aren't sure, and absolutely no way. 15%. 68% believe in angels in our country, which means they know there's a coming and going. Somebody asked me in the last service, can an angel look like a man? Absolutely. Can it look like a woman? Absolutely. Can an angel look like a child? Yes. In 1 Corinthians, it tells us that Satan appears like an angel of light. It is no wonder that his ministers of unrighteousness can appear to be a minister of righteousness. So they are in church garb and robes. They are for the things that the Bible speaks against. They show up and they look like people. They endorse things that hell endorses. They're real. Peter was in prison. A prayer group was going on. And when the prison doors opened, an angel let him out. He thought he was having a vision. And then the angel said, get going, buddy. And he realized it was a real angel. He saw him physically. He goes and knocks on the door of the house where he knew there was a weekly prayer meeting, apparently. And the young woman that was the house cleaner hears Peter calling outside the door. And she, instead of opening the door, runs back to the prayer meeting and says, hey, Peter's outside. And somebody says, no, you must be mistaken. It's probably just his angel. Why would somebody say it's just his angel unless angels were very prominent in the church in those early days and probably are now? We just may not see him. Unless the angel could look like Peter and sound like Peter. Well, his angel, so do they look and sound like us. Children's angels, the Bible say, behold the face of the Lord daily. So if you have little children, God has an angel or angels assigned, and they check in and look at God's face and say, what's next? Well, watch out. She's going to get in trouble at school. Oh, okay. Now, some of you still have those children's angels working you because you've never grown up. So you need to let heaven open up with the Holy Spirit today. Now, the devil, 61% believe there's a devil. But when you break that down, 26% do not believe, over 150 million people. 13% aren't sure. They think it's just a metaphor. 66% of people believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 59% believe in hell. The virgin birth, 58% believe in. 40% believe in ghosts. UFOs are 34%. Witches, 28%. Astrology, 25%. And reincarnation, about 21% believe that they were once another person, or at least a bullfrog or a chicken. 54% say, no, that's not for me. Now, you may have a belief system today. And you may say, hey, Mike, I'm with you. I believe in God. I think he's cool. But I don't believe that he needs to interfere with my life. I think he put me here to live and make money and to party and to surf and do whatever I want to do. And then when I get to heaven, I do it his way. So you may be one of these people with a belief system. You may be a good Baptist boy or a good Catholic girl, or you have some roots of the Bible or Scripture. But James, who was the son of Mary and of Joseph, he wasn't supernatural like Jesus. So he had been a half-brother, of course, of the Lord Jesus. He grew up with Jesus, so he must have picked up a lot. James made a strong case in the New Testament concerning us believing in God. If you've never circled it in your Bible, it's a good one. It's James chapter 2, verse 19. And James said this, "You believe that there is one God. You do well." That's a good way to believe, he says. "Even the demons believe and tremble." So what he's saying here is, that's good that you believe there's a God, but the demons know there's a God because they've seen him and they know who he is and how powerful it is, and they know they're judged for eternity. They fear and tremble. Very few of the great population of people in America that believe in God, the 82%, according to the Harris poll, actually fear and tremble about God. Actually fear him. That he could take their breath away right now. He could just touch your hip and you'd be walking with a limp like Jacob. That he could say, "I've tried for 18 years with you, and it would be better for everybody seeing the future that you go now." God could do anything he wants with any one of us right now, any second. So it's good you believe, but listen. Demons believe because they know you haven't seen. You believe by faith. But they fear and tremble because they know God is so powerful. You know, often we just can't see what's right before our very eyes. Look what it says here in verse 1. It happened when Apollos was at the city of Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to the city of Ephesus. Very important city. It's written about. Jesus gave a letter to the city of Ephesus in the book of Revelation. It's written about several times in the book of Acts. There's a whole epistle, 6 chapters worth in your New Testament, to the city of Ephesus. I've always found it to be, in looking at it historically, much like the city of San Diego. It was a somewhat youthful age group of people, universities, libraries, hospitals, medical facilities. It was a high-tech center of Asia in those days. Seriously, not electronic tech, but all sorts of high-tech stuff came. Healing balms and aloes were known for their finding there. And he found some disciples, and he said to them, look what he said, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We have not so much as even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." Well, they believe, but their denomination, let's say, and some of yours that you grew up in, maybe, no, the Holy Spirit's of the devil. That's not, you know, this speaking in tongues or the hands in the air or standing when you sing. Oh, my goodness. You know, and other people say, no, it's the greatest, the Holy Spirit. And so I think there's a pendulum that swings to this ultra-conservative side of looking at the Holy Spirit. And then there's this pendulum swing. He's just one big raucous party. And that's why the Bible in the middle is good for all of us, that we can be filled with this truth. I looked at many commentators, and there seems to be a question here. And it seems to be accurate if they would have added in the King James, New King James, or any translations. "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit given." They didn't know. The given part could easily be added to that statement there. We didn't know. We knew that I raised my hand, I went forward, I prayed, I confessed my sins, I go to church once in a while, I read my Bible, I try to do good. That's my Christianity. I believe. I think I'm going to heaven. I think there's a hell, and I think there's a devil, and I want to be a good guy, but I stumble now and then. Well, we weren't sure about this. I'd like you to be very sure as you go to the car today. There is a Holy Spirit, and he is given, and he is given freely. And he will unleash in you a supernatural power that allows things to be totally different in your lives. Well, we weren't even sure of this. And he said to them, well, tell me this then. What were you baptized? And they said, well, we're baptized into John's baptism. Now, that's understandable. Because many people today in Christianity do that. They get baptized into a denomination. You cannot be baptized into a church, biblically. You're baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ. It's him. But many churches say, are you baptized into this denomination? Are you our congregation? No, you're baptized in Christ, the person of Christ. Man always wants to take the power and the glory towards him and his schemes and his administration and his structure. And no, it's about you and the Lord. This is all about you and the Lord. I'm sorry, the best the structure can do for you the day you're dying at the hospital is send one of the ministers over to pray for you. Cannot experience what you're experiencing, can empathize, can have compassion, can read scripture to you. But you're the one that's going through the valley of the shadow of death. It's all about you and God. And you let this power of the Spirit come in and you see how much God loves you. That love should overflow to other people. Now your whole purpose for being alive is not to be purpose driven, to be purpose loved. And just let love go through your life and bless everyone that you can bless. Very important for you to realize there are many things that are right before you right now. I think of the remarkable parrot story. Three young men inherited their father's wealth, millions and millions of dollars. He was a very wealthy industrialist. And so he left tens of millions of dollars to all three sons, equal amount. And the dear mom was aging along, and she is the sweetest lady. But the boys loved her so much, and each boy said, I'm going to outdo you, and I'm going to give mom a present better than you. So the first son was in real estate. He's a developer. He built her the most beautiful mansion. I mean, this thing was 40,000 square feet, and it had 12 bathrooms, and it went on and on. This thing was just something. And that was his deed for mom. Well, the other boy, he was a banker. He had all sorts of money. He had a friend that owned the Mercedes dealership, and he made the loans to that dealership. So he bought his mom the longest, the largest, the quietest, the fastest, the most comfortable Mercedes-Benz ever built, and got her a full-time chauffeur. That was his gift. Well, the third son, he went to church a little bit more with mom than the other two boys, and he knew that mom loved the Bible. But he knew that mom was, you know, getting macro degeneration or mac and cheese or something. She's getting whatever that is. The eyes weren't doing too well. So he thought, I know this guy, this super guy. He got a special parrot, cost him millions of dollars. And this parrot memorized the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And he worked for 4 years with this parrot, having the elders of his mother's church and the theologians of their denominational Bible college train this parrot with every verse. And he gave that parrot to the mother. I mean, she could say, John 3:16, rock! John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Rock! Whoever believes in him will never perish. See, she'd go Genesis 1. Rock! Genesis 1, beginning God created. Talk just like a parrot, don't I? So he says, this will bless mom. Well, mom gets these lavish gifts. And she writes back and says, Fred, I really appreciate this house. This house is enormous. It's beautiful. It's big. But I'm old. I only stay in one room, but I have to clean the whole house. I mean, it was nice of you, but it really wasn't a very practical gift. So then she writes the second son, I want to thank you that you got me this beautiful Mercedes-Benz. It is quiet, it's comfortable, but son, that driver, that chauffeur is the rudest person. I don't even talk to him anymore. He just can't get along, agree on anything with that chauffeur. And I stay at home a lot. I bring the people from the store, bring my food, says, I appreciate the thought, but it wasn't a very practical gift. And then Philip, you know, I want to thank you for that sweet little chicken you sent me. It was delicious. No. See, sometimes it's right before us. We don't know what it is. The Holy Spirit's right here before us right now. And the devil's trying to distract it. He wants you to realize there's a person here that you can't see that wants to change your life in a very positive, remarkable way. Jesus said in Acts 1, just as he stood on the Mount of Olives and was ready to ascend up into heaven, wait and tarry in Jerusalem until you've been endued with power from on high, after which you shall receive the Holy Ghost when he comes upon you. See, Jesus is the one that said you could receive. For these people to say they didn't know they could receive means they didn't have a Bible teacher in their life. Nobody really put an emphasis on the Bible. You've got to watch out. You go someplace and they aren't talking in the Bible, you're not going to make it. You need to know what God has to say for you. And so Paul comes along and says, I want to ask you a question. They didn't have an answer for it. This word receive is a good word. It's a simple word. It simply means to take with the hand, to lay hold of any person or anything in order to use it. Have you taken a hold of the Holy Ghost in your life that you could use it? Maybe you have a problem at work, and instead of you trying to push it, make it happen, you can say, Lord, would you speak to the employees? Maybe it's a financial problem. Lord, I don't have any way to make the car payment and make the mortgage payment this month. Instead of running out and taking on more than you can handle, you have the person, the Holy Spirit, that you can say, Father, by your Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, could you help me here? And that Holy Spirit can start moving things and working things. And you just stand back and you go, wow, that's how you do that. That's cool, Lord. And you begin to trust him. You don't try to manipulate him. You trust him. So Jesus said you'll receive. Now Peter, who was a guy that was prone to be a type A personality, in Acts chapter 2, 28, what did he say in his sermon there? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Okay, they repented, they were believers, but they hadn't received because nobody sparked it. And some of you, you do believe, and you're good men and you're good women, and you know that you're weak in certain areas, but you don't have the power or enough steps in the program to get this out of your life. The Holy Spirit is here to tell you that it's already out of your life. You just need somebody to tell you that. And then go on with your life. And now go on, as Romans chapter 8 says, as many as are led by the doctrine, no. As many as are led by the church, no. As many as are led with their purpose or their vision or their desire, no. As many as are led by the Spirit of God are called the children of God. So now your life is not one where you go out and you do it and then say, bless me. Your life is now one big blessing that you're following him and letting the blessings pour out on you. It's not something you strive for or try to make happen. It's just the Lord working. In verse 3 and 4, he said to them, into what then? Well, you know what? Baptism of John. This is where some people stay in their denomination. I've always been here because my grandma's here, my mom was here, my aunts and uncles here, and then I've always believed this because that's all I've ever listened to. But when you get in the Word of God, the Holy Spirit illuminates your mind, ignites your heart, and all of a sudden his voice speaks, and this may not mean anything to anybody else, but to you, this day, it's life-changing. It's unreal. That's what's so cool. You don't have to be anybody than who you are and let God use who you are for his honor and glory, and don't try to prove anything to man or to God. All you're asked to do is to love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's all. And then love your neighbor as yourself. If I'm not loving God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, there's no way I can love you. I'm sorry. Now, if I'm loving you a little bit as much as I can put up with you, there's absolutely no way that I could be honest and say I'm really loving God with everything. But if I am surrendered to God, saying, I love you, and I know this hurt you, and this offended you. If I bring other people to tears, or I'm bumping into people and hurting people just to get my way, I don't really love you with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, or as I love myself. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is, Galatians chapter 5, love. And that word love was so powerful in the Greek language, there was no English word that would translate love. Well, they could say it was erotic. No. It was brotherly. No. It was divine sacrificial. The Greek language came up with a brand new word for that word love to explain the fruit of the Holy Spirit. If it's souls saved at a campaign, if it's Bible verses remembered, if it's my tax report at the end of the year, how much I gave to the Christian cause and to the church. Sorry. It's not that. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And if that love is its own fruit, then it's going to focus you on God, and where do you find God? In his word. And if you're kept away from his word, if you continue in my word, Jesus said, then you're truly my disciple indeed. If you're prone to keep away from his word, then the love of God is not in you, because you would love the word. And if you love the word, you would immediately love his Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is your teacher. And if you're loving the Holy Spirit, you're definitely going to love Jesus Christ, because God has revealed to you the power of Jesus Christ in his resurrection. And that's what Paul said last Wednesday night in chapter and verse, didn't he? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Otherwise, not just hear about him or learn about him or memorize him, but I would personally have a relationship with him that would be God in me. And what does Colossians say? Christ in you is the hope of glory. So this person is here and he's trying to get your focus and your attention right now. And the devil would never want you to have his attention. It's the spirit that can unleash you and set you free. Like that young man, 100 times a day, Mike, I'm saying, take those dirty thoughts out of my mind. Only God can do that. But for a man to have the wisdom to say, God, take these out 100 times. I said, don't ever get tired of doing that. God will take these thoughts away from you. Repent and be baptized. A baptism of repentance, yes, but the Holy Spirit would come and bring you a baptism with power. In verse 6, when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came, they spoke, and they prophesied and spoke in other tongues. The Spirit can come in you when you receive him. The Spirit can be with you, as we've learned in the Gospel of John, to comfort you and to walk with you. But this epi experience in their language, E-P-I, upon. This is what many of you may need. You need him to come upon you, like walking under a liquid waterfall of love. That spirit would make you a godly person. You would sometime in your walk fear and tremble like the demons do. Because God is not just a religion. He is alive and he's a person. And you now realize that he holds your very breath in his hand. And there is nothing that comes into our lives that God has not allowed. You could say, this is horrible, this is evil, this is wicked, this is bad, I don't like these people, this is hurting, I don't know why I'm in this situation. God does. You know, David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. But how often when death comes around, we fear death. The shadow of death is all it is. Did you ever think of this? Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. For a shepherd, his enemies would be bears and lions and wild beasts that would kill the sheep. He told King Saul, I took a lion by the hair of his chinny chin chin and I knocked the socks off of him. I took a bear and fought him hand for hand and got the little lamb of my father's out of his mouth. Why would God set a table in the presence of his enemies and not hide him in a secure place inside the inside of a inside of a inside of a jail? Because God is saying, right in the middle of the valley of the shadow of death, we're going to sit down and have lunch and have a picnic. I don't want you to fear. And if you can get over the fear of death, that God says, I'm going to feed you right in the midst of all these demons and all the enemies of your soul, that it is relaxing in my presence, why would you fear man or fear any situation that comes your way? You see, if you can get over this hurdle, it's going to be so simple that you'll say, oh boy, this is uncomfortable. That's right, but you ask God to unleash the Holy Spirit in your life. So he's going to take some things out of you. He's going to squeeze that tube of toothpaste a little bit, huh? And all of a sudden, there's that one little drop that you could still get on your brush. And God's got to get that little bit out of you so that you can be filled with his love and his power. In closing, it said in verse 9 that as he was listening and the power of the Holy Spirit came, verse 8, it says that he went in their synagogues for 90 days, for 3 months, doing two things. Would you underline it in the person's Bible on your right-hand side? What were the two things? Reasoning and persuading. If you're just visiting or you go to any other churches and they don't bring out the Bible, there's no way that God can reason or persuade. If you're a seeker-friendly type person and you don't want a long sermon, you're saying, I don't need God's word. And there's no way God can persuade you towards truth or reason with your intellect, your heart and your soul, unless the Holy Scriptures are what you're getting it from. If it's inspiration from the greatest preacher of all time, it won't do it for you, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry. Because that great preacher and that best-selling author and that famous personality is not going to be buried in your coffin. This is about you and God. And you get your heart right with God, He'll send you the Holy Spirit as a gift. And that's how you'll do it. You don't have to be anything. You don't become super hyper religious. You don't go for Calvinism or Arminianism or Pentecostalism or charisma or fundamentalist or conservative. You're God's son. You're God's daughter. All that was made up by man in man's interpretation. You, precious you, were made up by God. And He so loved you. He knew with all the voices, all the deception, all the lusts, all the lies, all the manipulation, all the class structure, all the haves and the have-nots, all the money and all the poverty. There'd be so many pressures on you just trying to figure out what life is about, let alone who you are about, that the only way He could grab your attention was to send the greatest thing He had, His only begotten Son. And when that young man at 33 years old was nailed to the cross, he was nailed for you. And though Christianity is a big business for some, Jesus Christ is very tender and gentle and serious for one. And you're the one. You're the one. It's all about you. It's about you and God and how much He loves you. Well, He laid hands, the power of the Spirit came. He reasoned, He persuaded concerning things of the kingdom of God, not concerning things of the denomination or things of the congregation, but things of God's kingdom. But when some were hardened, think of this, and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way in front of the multitude, He departed and withdrew the disciples and went to another place. The word hardened means to become obstinate or stubborn. They were obstinate against what was being said. They were stubborn. They weren't going to read the scriptures. They weren't going to reason. They weren't going to be persuaded. They did not believe. I think this is important. He withdrew the disciples. He looked in the crowd and said, okay, here's obstinance. Here's stubbornness. Here's strong will. Here's game plan. You 12, come with me. You know, you may want to consider this. Withdraw from the activities and the people and the relationships that are hardened against God. Because they're going to get you hardened against God too. You become what you surround yourself with. And when you let the power of the Holy Spirit come into your life, you're a person that can be free. You know, what's in your wallet? What is it that you lean on for your power? What is it that you have that shows you the one way to heaven? What is it? Is it you and your religion? Is it your religion and your belief system in you? Is it Jesus and this and that and the other thing? What's in your wallet? What's in your heart of hearts? Are you so secluded that nobody can get to you? And the hands have never been folded in humility before God? You know, that day we had 75% of those death row prisoners accept Jesus Christ. And I remember one young man that was so angry. I think he was 19, 20 years old. He talked to me for a long time after they cleared out and the guards let me stay with him alone. He had murdered somebody, yes. But he didn't murder the other two people that he... He said, I didn't kill three people, I killed one. And it's not right that I have to die for those two I didn't kill. And I told him who killed him. I said, well, that's a little moot point right now, but I understand that you're fighting this and so on and so forth, but let's realize you're forgiven. Let's start right here. And we became a friend instantly on the spot. And I said, I'm going to pray for you. We're going to give you a Bible. You start reading this Bible. You start seeking God, and God will work this out. You know, that young man was let off of those two murders. And they found out on the first one, even though he admitted to it, there were circumstances with some other people involved that he totally wasn't guilty of that. And he was let go. He's an evangelist in Malaysia now, talking to the Muslims about Jesus. And he has been for a long time. Please, as you leave now, let the Holy Spirit be the center of attention. Receive Him. He's a gift, something you grab hold of and you pull near that you can use and take benefit of. Let the gifts of God, be they prophecies or speaking in tongue or teaching or miracles, let them become real in your life. Let His kingdom work through you. Allow the scriptures to reason and persuade your heart. Don't put this book down. Don't. Get away from whatever keeps you from this book. It will persuade you. And don't be twice removed from God that, well, as my mother, who actually brought me when I was a little boy, and so that's only reason I believe in Jesus. Empty your house and your heart of everything that keeps you away from the glory of God. And let the Holy Spirit unleash himself this day. Shall we stand? Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we're so grateful to you. We're so thankful to you for your power for us. And that power is so soft and tender and gentle. We're just amazed that you're not a big old statue. You're not a carved out tiki god. You're not some ism, some rite of passage, some certain steps and works that we have to do. But just by your mercy and your grace, you have saved us. And we thank you, Lord, for the person of the Holy Spirit. And we would pray today that you would fill us overflowing with the Holy Spirit and that you'd bless us. Take us, God, and use us that we could be people of love and vessels fit for your use. And may we become serious through your word to know you by these pure scriptures. And may we know the power of your resurrection, not by memory, but by experience of that power. Unleash the same spirit you let loose in Ephesus that day and set us on a new path full of joy and excitement of walking every day with Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.